something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled, The Priestly Ministry of a Believer.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Say, Father, thank you for another blessed opportunity to hear and receive the Word of God. My heart is open. My mind is alert. My antenna is raised to hear God's word and to act on it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Okay. Now, what we're going to share beginning from tonight is so important that I'd like you to make sure that you are listening, in that whatever portion of the Bible that we refer to, you are quick to look at it and also to write it down. In Christianity today, there's a lot of emphasis on getting something from God. There's a lot of emphasis on having God do something for us. We are really all the time wanting God to do something. A lot of times we find ourselves asking God for something all the time. Our prayer life is full of requests. In fact, today when people talk about prayer, they associate it with requests, prayer requests. They got something they want God to do about their business. They got something they want God to do about their physical body. They have a need in their family, for their marriage, for their finances, you know. And if you are acquainted with God's word in a deeper level, you just wonder, is this the way to serve God? Do we only relate with God because we want Him to do something for us? Who are we? What does God want us to be? In the mind of God, who are we? And we continually pray and ask and ask and ask. And sometimes we even wonder whether or not we are heard. Many times it's because we have made a God out of our needs. We worship our needs. We're continually praying about our needs and thereby talking about our needs and concerned about our needs, to the point that our needs have gained so much attention in our lives. We don't really know which one is God. Is it our needs? Is it the God to whom we speak? Or ourselves who are in need? I want to read something to you from the Bible that will give you an idea of what the Christian life really ought to be. I'd like to, you know, I often tell you, every major truth begins from Genesis. Huh? Every final truth ends in Revelation. Come on, talk to me. I said every major truth begins its teaching from Genesis. But every final truth ends in Revelation. In other words, when you go to the book of Revelation, you'd find it there. Then you know this is the final truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's like God revealing himself to Moses. And he said to Moses, he said, Moses, in Exodus chapter number 6, when you read verses 2 and 3, he said, Moses, I want to introduce myself to you. He said, I am Jehovah. He said, my name is Jehovah. But your fathers knew me as El Shaddai. Many of us pronounce it El Shaddai. Pronunciation signs say El Shaddai. That's more difficult to pronounce, right? Okay. But he said, that's my name, Jehovah. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me as El Shaddai. But I am Jehovah. Now, look at the truth. Here was a truth that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had. But there was another truth. A newer revelation. And that's in Jehovah, the covenant God. But it didn't end there. The final truth, when you come to the book of Revelation, his name is Jesus. The name is not El Shaddai. It's not Jehovah. He said, thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. And who is his word? Jesus. So the final truth you find in the book of Revelation. All right. Now, having that in mind, so I want to read to you in our message today from the book of Revelation. I want us to see what God expects us to be like. What is the mind of God concerning us? What does he really think about us? Who am I to God? When he looks at me, what's on his mind? What's on his mind? What's on God's mind? I like to know what God thinks about me. Hallelujah. I don't care what people think, but I like to know what God thinks. There are a lot of people who always run around trying to find out what people think about them. That's wrong. You don't have to live to their expectation. You live to God's expectation. Hallelujah. Okay, so the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Ho, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ho, ho, glory. Ho. I'm going to read to you from verse 4. Hello. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you set?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go. From verse number 4, the book of Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter number 1, I'm reading from verse 4. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, Now we have a teaching on seven spirits of God. If you don't have the tapes, make sure you ask for them so you can understand what the Bible means by the seven spirits of God. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, he's giving greetings. He says, grace be unto you and peace. And from Jesus Christ, verse 5, who is, watch what he calls Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Now, that's very significant. You know, in the book of John, St. John's Gospel, Jesus Christ was called the only begotten of the Father. All right? He was called the only begotten of the Father. After his resurrection, he was never again called the only begotten of the Father. Why? Because when he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried together with him. When God raised him from the dead, we were raised together with him. And so we came up together with him, new creations, with a new kind of life. Hallelujah. And we became sons and daughters of God, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. So now he's called the first begotten of the dead. Not the first begotten of the Father or the only begotten of the Father, but the first begotten of the dead. Why? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death, because he was not the first person to be raised from the dead. In the Old Testament, the prophets raised others from the dead. In the New Testament, Jesus raised some from the dead. The apostles did too. So Jesus was not the first to be raised from the dead. But he was the first to come out of spiritual death.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Judy from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life? And who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did. Because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Sweden, the nearest VAG 6-1-19147, behind Sollentuna, Hantverkhus. Worship with us on Sundays, 11 a.m., and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimonies with us, please call 0046 7373 0570 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@loveworld360.com.
This is the continuation of the message, the Priestly Ministry of a Believer.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. He washed us from our sins. He didn't say he is washing us. He didn't say he's trying to wash us. He didn't say he shall wash us from our sins. He says the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When did he do it? Talk to me. When were you washed from your sins? You're not sure. The Bible says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. When did he wash us? Oh, I feel like singing. Whew. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So when did he wash us from our sins? Why are you all so quiet? You're not sure? You're not sure where he washed us or when he washed us from our sins? In his own blood. Who? I want to ask you again, because the way you're looking at me now, I'm wondering whether you really know. When were we washed from our sins? Huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done. Hallelujah. When were we washed from our sins? When he died on the cross. Hallelujah. Okay. I'll leave that for tomorrow. Now I can see that most of you are just not sure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, listen to this as we read. I hope I don't say it while we're going on. Just, all right. He says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He already did it. And can you see verse 6? Can you see verse 6? I'm talking about, what does God expect of us? What does he think about us? What's on his mind when he looks at us? What does God think about you? And hath, I want all the sisters to read verse 6. Only the sisters. All the ladies, read verse 6. Want to go. All right, brothers, can you read verse 6? Want to go. He says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings. And hath made us kings. He's not planning on doing it. And hath made us kings. Hath made us kings.
He didn't say when we get to heaven, he shall make us kings. This is not a promise. It's a statement of facts. A present tense reality. They're called facts for now. He hath already done it. He has made us kings. He's already done it. So when God looks at us, what does he see? All right, hold on. Hold on. I want to tell you why many are not living as kings. Firstly, because of ignorance. They do not even know what it's all about. You see, it's a spiritual kingdom. And the physical world belongs to the spiritual world. The spirit world rules the physical world. You have to understand that. Life is spiritual. That's why success has nothing to do with your education. Success has nothing to do with your family name. Success has nothing to do with what nation you come from. Success is spiritual. It's based on spiritual laws. I'll come to that. But I want you to understand this. The Bible says, he hath made us kings. He hath made us kings. But the Bible also says in Galatians chapter number 4, when you read from verse 1, that the heir, as long as he is a child, is not different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. As long as he is a child, he will live the life of a servant. Even though everything belongs to him. He didn't say when he is a child. He says as long as he is a child. Doesn't matter how long he chooses to remain a child. If he wants to remain a child all his life, he will live the life of a servant. Maybe I said that too fast. It's in your book, Galatians chapter 4. I want you to see it. Book of Galatians chapter number 4. Are you there? So, I want you to read from verse 1. Everybody, want to go. You see that? Though he be Lord of all, he is not different from a servant. He's the heir, all right? But as long as he's a child. He says, as long as he's a child, he'll have to live the life of a servant. In Revelation chapter 1, where we read, in verse 6, he said, and hath made us kings. He's already done it. He hath made us. He's not going to do it. He's already done it. He hath made us kings. So we are kings. But you see, we have to grow. We have to come to our office. We have to come to our position. And many of us are not ready for the life of a king. Because we've not been trained in the things of God. You've got to be trained. And part of your training in the life of a king is that kings don't beg. Kings don't beg. Our prayers are full of begging. We're begging everybody. We beg at work, we beg at home, we beg in the way, we beg everywhere. Oh, please, 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 please. Always we are begging. Then we beg God. We beg him for everything. We ask him, please, I'm begging you. Kings don't beg. He had made us kings. Kings don't beg. Come on. Hello.
Are you hearing this? You sure? Say it with me. Kings don't beg. Hold on. It's not enough to just say it. You have to develop that mentality. It has to become your way of reasoning, your way of thinking. Kings don't beg. Now, what does that say? It suggests something about the kind of prayer life that we ought to have. We don't beg for our health. We don't beg to be set free. We don't beg for deliverance. We don't beg for anything. We don't even beg for God's help. Now, who made us kings? Was it at our request? Did we ask God to do it? Did we ask him to do it? No, we didn't. It wasn't our idea. We didn't have a clue about God's plans. It was his choice. It was his idea. He chose to make us kings. So, I said, one of those vital things that a king should know is that kings don't beg. They don't beg. They don't beg. Tell somebody your days of begging are over.
Hallelujah.
We trust you were blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. Oh Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. From this day, through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm now a child of God. Hallelujah. This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Sweden, Linnaeusväg 61-19147, behind Sollentuna, Hantverkhus. Worship with us on Sundays, 11 a.m. and Wednesdays, 6 p.m. For prayer and counseling or to share your testimonies with us, please call 0046-73-733-0570 or send an email to LWR Transmissions at loveworld360.com.